Yo, 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 yo. I'ma just say it. Oh, shit. We are in Vegas, and I am looking around this table. I see the homie, Chief Johnson. I see the homie, David Gross. Y'all know Fuzzy. Y'all know what it is. Oh, my gosh. DJ Head.
We out here.
G Perico.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
This is an official West Coast motherfucking takeover.
Only person missing is Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Huh? Real talk. Real talk.
That's around the corner.
Okay. For sure. Yo, we here for a variety of reasons, but y'all know what it is. The 29th of July, Earl Spence, Bud Crawford, Jesus, David, we talked about this on a prior episode. Yeah. What are we talking about tonight? Like, what's going on? What's going to happen? What do we expect?
The same shit we expected last time we talked. I'm expecting.
Okay.
I'm expecting Spence to stop him.
Ooh.
10 or 11. I didn't say it last time. I'm getting more specific. 10th or 11th round.
So you're saying you're predicting a knockout?
Knockout, TKO, KO.
Hmm.
Whoa.
Wow.
How does that make you feel, Malik?
I mean, listen, styles make fights. Like I said prior, Earl is a high volume puncher. Likes to
high volume body puncher.
Yeah, for sure. Pressure, that's his thing. He's a pressure guy. He's gonna try to walk Bud down. That's great for us.
He said us like he in the corner.
Yeah, for sure. I'm in the corner. You're invested. I'm Omaha, Nebraska.
You are invested.
Tonight.
Okay.
I'm walking him out, Malik?
I think you know who else. Not me. I want to though. But I think again, styles make fights. Bud is notoriously a slow starter, but Spence's pressure is gonna make him do what he has to do, which is gonna be adjust. I think that both people are gonna touch the canvas at least once.
Mm. Wow, that's
really
I think both people are going to touch.
So if you see that happen, you can see a stoppage then.
It is going to be a stoppage, yeah. But late.
Not going to
Bud,
the distance.
But 11th, 10, 11 round. Bud, okay, get him so up out of there.
You think the opposite of
Bud's getting him up out of there? He don't have enough to pull from. Mm. He don't have enough to pull from.
Are you going by watching 24/7?
What can he not do? What can Spence not do?
It's not what he cannot do. It's just the fact that he doesn't have enough in his tool belt to make the adjust. Like, that's all Bud does. Bud makes adjustments. Spence is, again, I've seen it. I've seen the Kell Brooks fight, seen it in a number fight, straightforward guy. Again, aggressive puncher, but never faced a great counter puncher. And again, never really I don't know that he's faced the dog. Like the guard, if you want to
talking about Sean Porter's a dog.
Sean Porter got put on his ass twice.
Sean Porter's a dog though. He's saying he never faced a dog. Who did Crawford face?
Sean Porter.
I know, but you just discounted him.
No, I'm not discounting him. I'm just saying what Bud did and what Spence did was different.
Bro, Sean Porter was on his way out. Like literally, that retired him. That was his last fight. It wasn't because he got beat up so bad he retired. He was able to beat him up so badly because Sean Porter was like, this is my final hurrah.
He's like, I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah.
No,
the come daddy, on, you tripping, man. The daddy stopped the fight.
Damn. But the daddy didn't stop his career, though. He was done. He was already
the daddy
done.
Stopped the fight because the dad knew what anybody's father knows. Like, my son's had enough.
Right. Or I need some more money from him, so I don't want him to be punch drunk.
No, but look, here's what I'm going to say.
This is going to be fun tonight.
This is one of the few fights where both of the guys,
hey.
There hasn't been a fight like this where I like both fighters. Like
true,
almost
I do
equal.
Like both of them.
So every any other fight, you can think any other big fight, like there's one I prefer, I have a strong preference for.
So are you going to walk away from the fight being like, whoever wins, I'm okay?
Nah, I want Spence to win.
Okay.
But we're going to get at least two fights.
Yeah.
I believe that. For sure.
They both have a...
Unless it's like something that's like, you know...
No, because if one of them gets beat up bad, he's definitely going to exercise. So whatever happens, we're getting two fights.
If you get beat up bad, you're going to exercise the option to get back in there?
Yeah. Bro, both of them are dogs. Both of them have supreme confidence in themselves. Yeah, if they get beat up badly, they're going to be like, fuck that. I'm going to go double down in the gym, come back stronger. It was a fluke. So whatever happens, if it's close, if it's a knockout, we're getting two fights.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to turn to DJ Head.
Yes, sir. I let y'all have a boxing conversation.
No, we want you to get in it, though.
Well, I'm not a fan of boxing. Okay. Is that blasphemous to say, being in Vegas for fight weekend for one of the biggest generational fights ever?
No, not at all.
Okay, I just wanted to say that. Yeah, I was asking questions. Okay. I'm not a boxing fan. I'm also not a MMA fan. I don't like violence.
You don't like violence?
No.
Why?
It's okay. Probably trauma.
You know, okay. Something.
They're paid professionals. Head.
I know it's a sport. It's more of a sport than NASCAR.
What about karate? You like Bruce Lee?
There goes our NASCAR.
Hey, listen. No, shout out to the white people with NASCAR. Whoa. I fuck with NASCAR.
Jesus Christ.
Listen, y'all know what it is. You knew what it was when I sat down in here.
G. Perico, we're gonna go.
Oh my God.
what we looking like tonight?
I mean, I really don't have a dog in a fight. I think both of them great.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
I love greatness.
I think this is going to be a real good fight, and okay. It's definitely the beginning of a series
between these two. Actually, even the way they talked to each other, they weren't disrespecting each other.
No, not at all.
Very respectful.
They were actually very respectful. Like, it was a dope moment. Yesterday, they both thanked each other for making the fight happen.
That's dope.
Most people would have avoided this fight.
You know what I could appreciate, though, about the whole situation is that most of the time, mm-hmm. you'll see that where people are gentlemen, they're professional mm-hmm. about the situation. Like I even seen clips of certain competitors when they are fighting where they won't take a cheap shot even when it's given to them. Even in like when certain people are hurt really bad, they might like, yo, check your man's out. You know what I'm saying?
And mm-hmm. I'll take him down.
I can't
take
appreciate him, that him. As okay. that component of okay. the sport. You know okay. what I'm saying? So okay. I can tell what Gross is saying.
I'm just excited, man. Like it feels like the energy. We talked about it. Yeah.
Yes.
Like back in the day when Tyson had a fight,
right?
When Floyd had a fight, when people came out, it was the top two people banging, you know, going at each other.
Right.
And that's great for the sport, man. Like we talked about the ducking, you know, that stuff feels like it's leaving now and boxing is returning back to the essence of what it was.
Nobody's scared to take an L.
Yeah.
Nah, they want to get it out there.
Yeah, we need it. We need that. So, now we talked about respect, but did we see the disrespect in the post Caleb and Charlo?
What was that about?
That was fake.
You think that was fake?
That was fake.
They ready to get the fight on.
I think
is that the build to the fight?
I don't because okay. I don't think Charlo gets smacked in the face like that and just does nothing like that.
But he had his people back, like blocking him from really going at him.
I don't think his people would have kept him going at him if it was a real slap in the face like that. Like that was a slap punch.
That was disrespectful, bro.
Let me ask y'all a question.
It is. Caleb is disrespectful to his competitors.
Let me ask y'all a question. When it comes to that type of stuff, right? Like mm-hmm. you asked a good question, like, what is that about, right?
Yeah.
So y'all talking about you getting back to the essence of the sport, competitiveness, people fighting for the respect, and you earn that, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then we also come post-era of clout, where you got the Jake Pauls, you got the Paul brothers doing stunts and people kind of like gimmicking their, that's not even a word, but creating gimmicks to get their way into certain arenas in certain spaces.
WWE.
Do you guys as fans of the sport, I guess mm-hmm. you too, like, do y'all respect that? Are you a fan of that? Cause to what Gross is saying, if it was planned, that's them being no different than everybody else doing.
I mean, it's marketing. They building up momentum for possibly good fight. You know what I mean?
But and let me qualify that because I don't think I don't know Charlo at all. But Caleb is a real dude, so I don't see Caleb just doing something gimmicky or WWE. What I do know is a lot of people talk shit to Caleb because he's a white boxer.
We right. talked about that. He was on our episode, and
people talk shit to him and talk slick to him and about him because he's a white boxer. So I think
he's feeling disrespectful.
He has to have the chip on his shoulder, and he's a really good boxer.
It's like Christian McCaffrey in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a dog. That's the thing. So if somebody who has a chip on their shoulder because people are constantly going at him with the same shit, and he knows he's dope, so maybe it could have been real on Caleb's part because the Charlos do talk slick.
It says something about he grabbed his face. He grabbed Caleb's face.
Oh, so there we go then. Because we just see in the clip.
All so it wasn't a slap.
No. Caleb slap punched him for sure.
But Caleb said, don't grab my face like that.
Face, like, almost try to sun him. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So there's the context that we needed.
There it is.
And to go to your point about Jake Paul and some of those things, like, It's weird. From this is me personally. Like, I do respect him from a sense that he seems like he's trying to take it serious as far as like training and those kind of things. But I feel like it's the antics and gimmicks around how they promote it that makes it feel
gimmicky. You know,
gimmicky, right? It's the people that watch that and buy the pay-per-views aren't purists of boxing. They probably didn't watch, you know, boxing in the 80s and 90s. So it's more or less like the antics of it. Like when you're trying to throw a concert at the boxing fight, like that's corny to me. You know what I mean? Like, so those kind of things. But I feel like now I'm just glad we're having these moments that overshadow that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? The antics and those kind of things. And I just remember as a kid just going to like my uncle's house and those things when there was a mega fight and the energy of it. And as a kid, you're trying to watch the screen and see who's watching ringside and the lead up to it. And it just feels like boxing had lost its glory for a while because people were chasing like
the club. Yeah.
But do you think, like, take it back even further than that, like Muhammad Ali was the king of clowning and
creating a narrative shit, prior to the fight.
Yeah, but then he backed it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I miss the heavyweight side of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all know what Tyson used to do, Holyfield, and all, but I just miss that the heavyweights talking shit and them backing it up. Like, yeah. I don't think Tyson talked shit. He just was like,
he was just raw.
I'm raw. I'm gonna come out
in there,
with this,
no socks on.
No socks. With the towel on.
No rub.
And I'm gonna knock your ass out.
That's it. No talking.
I'm out.
Well, that's what you had back then. You had like a balance of like your hagglers who were just raw, and then you had like the macho Camachos who were flashy, but they still could fight though, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the charisma, there's a balance that Floyd brought back with the charisma of it.
Yeah.
That there are some people now, even, you know, I just love Camacho because the way he dressed, it was just like outlandish, but he could box. So I think getting back to that essence of where it is entertainment, but you still have the best people fighting each other is how you restore that glory. And, you know, I'm just excited about it.
And we got some cats with some, like, Shakur has a lot of, he has a lot of charisma.
Yeah, Shakur is
Shakur's a dog. I like Shakur.
Shakur's a dog.
Shakur talks that talk.
Yeah.
The biggest flip now, it used to be the heavyweights we cared about. I saw a heavyweight fight, and I think they had some belts on the other. These are clowns. Who are they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now
yeah.
It's all the, you know, it's all at that 135 to 145, 154.
130 to 147, 154. Yep. Yeah.
That's where all the action is.
And then maybe even 168, because that's where Benavidez is, right? So I want to step back to go forward because we have music people in here as well, like real music people. And I want to use it. This analogy, boxing is perfect for this. Hmm. Jake Paul, right? Mm-hmm. Is Jake Paul the algorithm? Is Jake Paul, what's it called? TikTok.
For sure.
In the sense that for our culture, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's like, you got to have TikTok. You got to have the algorithm rocking with you. And we know that there's studies where the algorithm does not serve
purists.
Black creative content makers. Yeah. Like, that's a real thing, right? Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing.
So that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. That's not my opinion. There's a whole thing on it. So now we're saying that Jake Paul and his brother
can fight. They can fight.
But wait. They're bringing people to the sport. They're bringing eyes to the sport. So again, you're using an outside sort of a source to validate us. That's bullshit. So that's why I don't fuck with it.
Well, I always look at, to your point, you're right. And I was thinking the same thing when Chief was talking, right? But my point is, I mean, my perspective on that is the more eyeballs, the better. And then what you do with that, it's up to you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you don't have to, like, engage in certain, like, I never see G do clown shit on the internet. You don't see that. But then also, you don't see me do clown shit in the media space like the other media guys, right? Yeah. But certain people in Fuzz, same thing. Our lineage doesn't allow us to do that, though. No, because if I do some weird shit on the internet, if G do some weird shit on the internet, our phone gonna ring within 5 minutes.
Oh, immediately. I'm calling.
If I tweet, sure. Fuzz has called me on two separate occasions for some shit happening that's went down in real time and was like, yo, I don't like this. You got, hey, what, Fuzz, I do, you my big brother. All right, you got that. Yeah. Let's have a conversation about it. So I think that those things come with checks and balances, and that's where it's fucked up. Yeah. I don't think that it's people's fault for doing what they think is gonna work. I think it's the people around them that knows better.
And also, at the same time, let's not get it confused. Like you said, the eyeballs is good for it, right? All I'm saying is, though, it's like, again, there's someone outside of our culture moving us, like, because of his involvement, there's going to be more eyeballs.
Well, you think the music executives are?
Yeah.
It's the same shit.
No, that's why. It's the same shit. That's what I, that, to my point.
And that makes it frustrating.
Yeah, it's been like that since the beginning, though.
Yeah.
You get Vanilla Ice and shit like that. Like, just, you know, shit that's not, like, gimmicky shit. You know what I'm saying?
And just so we're clear, we're not talking Eminem. We're not talking Alchemist.
No,
we're not talking.
That's cultural shit.
Yeah, that's cultural shit. They're in it. I'm talking about someone who's a YouTuber or whatever, and then it's like, oh, I'm in a box, and now he's getting $8 million and $10 million fights from a guy who's really dedicated his life to the sweet science and went to the Olympics.
They're putting boxers on. When they fight a boxer, they're making, these boxers are making more money. These UFC fighters are making more money boxing them than.
That's crazy.
I agree.
That's crazy.
I agree. But it's it says a lot.
But at the same point, boxing is also to blame for that, because
for allowing that
agreed. For, you know, not pushing the envelope. Because even think about UFC, they leapfrog boxing. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows they pay their fighters poorly, right? Mm-hmm. But the excitement, the level of events that they do a year, the level of, like, big time fights that they do a year, they set, quote unquote, an algorithm of what it takes. People move so fast. So if you're a professional boxer, right, you fight once a year, how else do you expect somebody to deem you relevant in the space?
Hey, can I tell you something, though? This is the UFC versus boxing. Why the UFC leapfrogged? I actually came and sat down with Dana White like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they have one organization that had a vision for the UFC, and they were able to manage it over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Boxing is like 20 different belts,
sanctioning bodies.
There's no one controlling the shit. Like,
and it's the old guard too, right?
Controlling the quality, putting out good product. You have all the bad decisions. Like, there's not one person with their hands on the wheel.
And the branding is sort of terrible. Yep.
UFC, it's all of it centralized. Yeah. It's actually one team, one person, Dana, driving the whole shit.
Yeah. We got a UFC gym.
This is our partner. It's Reebok or Adidas. This is what you're able to wear. And they control it. You know, they're centralized.
Is that better? Is a centralized mechanism better for I'm talking about for cultural impact, for influence? Because, like, to what Malik was saying, right? If you take people who have outside influence and bring eyeballs to whatever the organization or the sport or the craft that you are trying to garner attention for, is a centralized hub good for everybody, unilaterally, culturally speaking, though?
I think so, and that's in the sense of, like, you're talking about combat sports, because UFC promotes their platform 24/7.
Yes, very well.
Boxing does not do that.
Yeah,
if there's a fight going on, there's fights that happen, and I'm like, where was that at?
Right.
It's because ESPN holds the rights to fights.
Showtime.
Yeah, so they don't do a good job about just promoting the sport in general, and UFC has built a hub to where it's like, once you're in the funnel, you may get beat up and miss out, but we're going to promote it equally, like, across the board, you know. So I think they do a good job as far as, like, just like WWE. I think they took a playbook from Vince McMahon and WWE. It's like, this is the hub. This, you might be on Monday, but we have Thursday too, and you can get to Thursday. So if a UFC, if you come in at the bottom, you know, I want to be at UFC 280 or 290, and I got to fight some of these smaller fights, but it's still going to be on ESPN. It's still going to have, like, the high-level promotion that it's going to have. And boxing, just like you said, because it's so spread out, they don't have one central hub. They just do a terrible job in marketing.
So boxing is like the music industry.
Free for all.
that's what he was trying to
say. Look at the most successful sports.
100%. I get it. Boxing is just so many different entities controlling shit. They doing their thing. He doing his thing. They saying what the qualifications is over here.
Spot on.
Yeah, I get that.
Just think if the NBA wasn't, Yeah. NBA and NFL, it was just every team doing their own thing.
Right.
It wouldn't be as big as it is.
Correct.
You know?
It's because there is that uniformed, you know, focus. Like, yo, we own Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays now, right?
NFL.
And yeah, and everybody falls in line because they know it's for the benefit of the overall, like the owners are like, okay.
No, that is true. Because I look at stuff, I was just talking to one of the homies about the Big Three with Ice Cube and what he going through with, you know, being hated on and stuff like that. But you got this league, you got his league, you got the Drew League, like it's so many different organizations. And I think like you said, maybe if it was unified a little bit, then it would probably be easier.
Yeah, because if you even look at NBA, right? If you go to the Lakers website, that's NBA.com/Los Angeles Lakers.
Right.
NBA.com/LA Clippers. It's not the Lakers have their own domain. You know what I mean?
They want all that.
We want all the IP. And the only way to become successful is owning your IP. And if you don't have your IP centrally located, and then you figure out how you want to disperse the information, then you're always going to be playing from behind. And until boxing, which they'll never be able to figure out because there's so many different entities of that. And same with music. You know, music's a tough one too because you have a record label, but then they disperse it to 30 different DSPs and all things. So it's just all over the place. So, you know, respect to somebody like G, what he's done is took control of his IP and where he wants to disseminate the information. So now he can control the books, he can control the marketing, and then decide where he wants to be as far as like distribution wise. And, you know, it's the game is really out there. We always talk about the information, and I think you talked about that, Ed, when you came on. The information is there.
Yeah.
It's just people don't want the information.
People enjoy being blissfully stupid.
Uh-huh.
But I had a question because I want to go back to something Gross said. Yeah. Sorry, I have a question about this because I want y'all perspective. When you said you were talking about boxing, you were talking about something leapfrogging boxing, right? The MMA, like different organizations, UFC, stuff like that. Do you think that's the case the same way? Because I don't see female fights in boxing promoted the same way I see UFC fights promoted with women, right? The same way I look at the WNBA and the lack of attention that gets versus the NBA. I have my own thoughts about why that is, but
the last big UFC fight, the headline fight, was Holly Holm.
That's what I'm saying. The women get cracking.
No, because it's one organization, and they benefit the same. They put the men and women on the same card. Now they're having women be headliners. Hey. So they've just found a way to monetize.
Why are the rap females cracking right now?
There's a parallel there for both, right?
100%.
If the MMA leapfrog boxing from a male perspective, you also see the dominance in the women, but then I don't see that translate to other facets. Music, yeah. I mean, except music, like to Fuzz's point.
Well, I think they could try to keep it two separate. Like the WNBA and NBA are on two separate schedules.
But they don't embrace each other.
Right.
There's only 20 games for the WNBA. Yeah. Like 30 game season, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that right?
You know, they play in an opposite season. Like their season starts when NBA's off. So they're entered inside. They've already created competition.
Yeah, the UFC is the only sport where they've invested in the women at the same way.
Yeah.
Not just invested in
them. Yeah, Nunez.
But like they give them the same exposure.
Yeah.
So whatever the biggest
Rousey,
there's
Nunez.
A UFC fight tonight. A big UFC fight tonight.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot, but they're women fighting on it, I guarantee.
You guarantee.
Yeah.
1,000%.
So what made this college just last the season with the women college crack off the way it did? Like
Caitlin
I know they were marketed, promoted well.
Is it the girl from Iowa?
The girl from Iowa who was like shooting like Steph Curry.
Yeah, they were balling.
I think I always thought college athletics was way more
like, exciting.
Yeah, because every game counts.
Yep. Yes.
Are there some artists, music wise, that you guys are excited about? Like
I've been bumping Lil Timms a lot, man.
Timms
is, she fires me, bro.
Super fire.
I've been playing that a lot, and I you know, Travis Scott just dropped this week.
Is Timms this generation Sade? Is that possible?
I wouldn't say that, because she raps really good, and I don't know. Like, Rhapsody is one of my favorite MCs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of music.
Rhapsody is fire.
Love but there's a lot of music like that's out. Like, I'm glad Travis Scott came back the way he did. I'm just saying, we're talking about something current.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he didn't let, you know, he had a, you know, he saw the bumps and bruises, bro, went through, but he put together a project. And he, you know, he out. He out there now. It's like,
and it was smart. He smart. Knew he got away for a year,
and he marketed it right.
He got away though. Mm-hmm. He knew he like he yeah. was humble enough to yeah. say, I got to shut down for a moment. Yep. I got to get away. You listen, that guy's constant. He's perpetually creating, but he understood like, I got to shut down for a moment. Yeah. And that's also the sign of a great team.
Yeah. Great team.
A great team. There's people around him that advised him in the correct way, and he listened.
Shout out Busy.
Yeah.
Busy Cold Pace. Who up? David. Yeah. All of them.
What about you, Head? What you bumping right now?
I'm actually really excited about this female rapper from Houston. Her name is Ken the Man.
Okay.
She's extremely dope. Like, she's not dope in the sense that, like, she's going to bar out Nicki. You know what I'm saying? I think she can bar, but she's great at, she has bars, and something I think is missing is she's a good songwriter. Mm. And so I think those two together makes you a dope ass, like she's a dope artist to look out for sure.
I'm going to be super, super biased. Kevin Smiley, country, 19-year-old kid.
Yeah, he's somebody was just telling me about him.
Okeechobee, Florida. Trust me, the absolute truth. Don't forget the song or the clip or whatever you've seen. Goes into rooms with this guitar and his six string.
And does it.
And does it. And the songwriting is impeccable. Like, songwriting is impeccable.
So
like,
he does. He studies the art of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Loves it. And I think he's literally the entry point. I think he's going to be the entry point for the culture jumping in the country. Like, really diving in. Because the songwriting and the storytelling is that compelling. Like, that compelling.
I got to peep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll play some music.
Yeah. G, from an artist perspective, you're an artist yourself. Who do you listen to? Like, who? I always find that interesting, like, the artist.
That's a good point.
From the artist side.
I mean, I'm all over the place, but, like, it's, like, such a huge contrast to what I listen to as opposed to what I make. Like, I listen to, like, Erykah Badu, Sade, like, just a lot of, like, great songwriters, just music that give you that feeling, you know? And I try to take, like, you know, what do they use to give you that feeling and how I could introduce it into, you know, what I do. So I'm just off of a gang of, like, R&B. And
he an R&B head, man. You'll pull up on him. He'll be playing something from the 80s, heavy.
Yeah, I'm Neo Soul. It did, like, 80s. I'm looking for something to sample and something to swipe because, you know, that is the essence of rap. So.
Right.
Dope. Yeah. Dope.
What you listening to, David?
I'm going to switch up the vibe. I've been listening to some throwback stuff recently.
Okay.
One of my favorite albums of all time was this album by Blue in Exile. It's like the 15th year anniversary.
Dang.
So, shout out
Blue. Blue in Exile album. Yeah, he went back. Okay.
Yeah.
So I've been back and listening to Blue's whole catalog over the past month or so.
That's dope.
Like, man, when I used to do music, we did numerous shows with them at Zen. Y'all remember Zen Sushi?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Shout out Aloe Black, Blue in Exile. Yeah, that's great, man. I think, you know, the kids these days, I always tell, like, my nieces and nephews, like, expand your ears. Like, you know, don't get caught up in, like, oh, this is just what's hot right now. Like, go back and dig into the 60s, 70s, 80s. 90s, especially right now, a lot of the music that's out is all music that came out when we was kids.
Yeah.
And these kids don't even know. I'm like, yo, do you know that's a prior song? Yeah. And you know, just expanding your eardrums and just your experience with music will open up so much, man. And so because there's so much music out there and so much to pull in.
And we got easily access to it on our phones, man. Like, I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, I wish I had
you don't got to dig through no
crates,
no man.
I don't have to go to Todd Records to find a CD. I right here, I'm like, oh, I want to get that new ooh, ooh, ooh.
What?
I did what? Like that process, though.
I did. Yes.
I love and miss that
process. We set with music more when you have physical.
You know what's crazy?
Like old head, but.
To what you're saying, though, Fuzz, I remember going to, like, Sam Goody in the mall, right?
Yes.
So I go to the mall.
Put the headphones on.
And I had $25, so I had to make a decision. Like, so I would put the headphones on. I'm like, I'm going through the, I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Then I had to switch and go to this album, and I had to really make a decision on what I'm going to live with for the next month until I get another $25 to come back and get another one. So right. I was like, I think that is also, like, it's music is so intangible, where it's just interchangeable. It's throwaway, and that's damn near why you got to be omnipresent when it comes
all the time.
Like, yeah.
I forget what I downloaded last week. I just hate. I'll be like, damn, I was just listening to so-and-so. What's that person's name? I'll be like, I forget. But we don't live with music for months now. We don't. We just be like, oh, off to the next album, off to the next album.
Too that's much. True. Look, we don't, live with, albums the same way.
We don't live with TV the same way. Any media.
But here's something, it's a debate I've been having recently. I think everyone that I've had this debate with, I got them to come around to my way of thinking. West Coast artists, the ones that make it, because I think it's harder to make it out of the West Coast.
100%.
I think there's a star coming out of Atlanta or New York or somewhere every other week. Atlanta. They have their moment. It's hard to make it out of the West Coast. But if you make it on the West Coast,
you're out of here.
You're going to have a 10, you know, you don't just disappear. You have a 7, 10, you have a real career.
Yeah.
And you step outside and people are always going to support you. Like if you make it out of the West Coast.
I think the West Coast.
You can name all the artists.
Yeah.
You know, all the artists that are relevant right now. Shit, they've had a
run.
They've had 5 years already.
Yeah.
They probably have 10 more years in them.
I think the West Coast sonically, we're different sonically.
Mm-hmm. With that being said, we need a Schoolboy Q record.
Oh, it's coming.
I'm looking for I'm excited about, we were talking about what we're excited about. I'm waiting for the next album from every West Coast artist. All the West Coast artists we don't like. That's what I'm excited about. So I think rap is wide open right now.
Wide open.
Agreed.
Wide Super. Open.
Agreed.
Super.
I think that, like you said, it's hard, but it's low key. Like, it depends. Like, a lot of people, and this is something that I've had a problem with for a long time, and people, y'all know me, but for your listeners that don't, like, I'm a bit very biased. I'm so biased that it ain't even fair to people that's not west of Texas. Cool. But when it comes to our sound, our music, our vibe, our tempos, all that stuff, like, you really don't need nowhere else. You don't need, just like when you, like, for instance, if you look at our market in California, right, where that land has been stolen from Mexico. We're in Mexico, right? The white people came and stole the land from Mexicans. That's the truth. I'm sorry. Now, that being said, that's our demographic. If you like, that's why you don't see Boosie and Webby. You didn't see them in LA like that. You didn't see Jeezy coming there doing hella shows like that. But they have their own chitlin circuit in the South that they can go get 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Like, they can go get that day in and day out. They can go on the weekend run and clean up. We don't have
real
a chitlin circuit like
that's
that.
That's real talk.
No, we got a circuit.
It's not a chitlin circuit like that. It's not conducive to somebody that's a mid-tier or lower-tier artist getting on the road and going and getting 15 for a club date. That's not a real thing for a lot of artists. Now, if you got a hot song, that's cool, but your song got to be you, your brand, or your song got to be so big for people to want to invest in you in that way for it to make sense.
Let's jump in right there, because I've been trying to figure this out. Songs go viral from everywhere else, from Atlanta, Miami, all down south, East Coast, Midwest, viral songs, viral moments all over the country. You never see that from LA. You don't see a lot of viral, like, you don't know the artist, the song just goes viral.
Yeah, that's true. Name the last.
Because I don't think LA does, like, if they don't know the person, know their background, who they are, they're not going to.
Rimble is viral. Push
it. Name the last.
I'm trying to think of it. I'm sure something I'm missing.
I think Rimbo is a good example of that.
Yeah.
But that also comes with, like, for instance, in order for people to.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it just makes it harder from the East. You can't just go viral on the East Coast if nobody knows who you are or where you're from, and that might not be right. But once people do, they figured out who you are and they embrace you and they
that's
like
different.
You, then you stick.
Like, that's correct.
Yeah, but also, everybody sounded like.
You gotta know, like. We just have different protocols and checks and balances and different things that we operate on when it comes. Like, if nobody knows who you are, where you came from, it's kind of like, who is this guy?
Yeah, this is the only city, I think, that does that. And we can debate whether that's a good or bad thing. But in terms of longevity, once somebody makes it through that filter and they clear that hurdle, YG's going to step outside and be YG for the next 20 years, and he'll be loved on the West Coast.
I think maybe because there's so many transplants in L.A.,
LA has a culture though.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was gonna go down the list from YG to Perico, obviously Dot. All of them, they have for the rest of their lives in LA, they'll be embraced. They'll be doing shows. They'll be getting love. But I don't think you see that.
Like, back to the circuit shit. I definitely believe we got a circuit because the West Coast. got a circuit, because I was gone like fucking, what, 20 weeks so far, 20 weekends so far this year.
So is it Seattle, somewhere in Arizona?
Seattle, so you got Arizona, Seattle. you got 2-1 Seattle and Spokane.
Yep.
I think I'm going to Spokane next weekend. Tacoma. So Tacoma,
yeah.
Seattle, Portland.
Modesto.
California is like 10.
I'm being serious.
You know what I mean?
No.
Modesto, Fresno.
Fresno, Bakersfield.
Bakersfield, yeah. Sac, Oakland, Chico. Ventura County, Orange County, San Luis Obispo. You got all these different spots. AZ, Tempe.
San Diego.
Yeah. It's like 30 different spots, 30, 40 different markets you could hit. Like, and it's more than that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Out here, it's just the fact that people are not exploring it. Everybody, man, there's nothing going on. I don't know what to do. Like,
it's also not, some of it is not sexy to everybody. So it is what it is.
I think one of you guys said this, made the west of Texas comment.
Me.
And then west Texas, we got Texas too.
Bro,
west of Texas. It's wide open. So Texas has their own radio, their own personalities, they have their record labels, their culture. But west of Texas, like, I think Big Boy is the biggest radio personality west of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's any dominant.
No.
There are no dominant hip-hop labels.
No.
It's wide open.
Yes.
L.A. should, California should dominate all that.
Yeah. I agree
for
with
sure.
you.
Yeah. And it's there.
I think, like you said, I think I was reading, you said Denver was one of your...
Oh yeah, Denver.
Denver goes crazy.
Yeah. Denver crazy.
It's good market. Yeah. Great market.
Yeah.
Like, Salt Lake City.
Really?
You been to Ogden?
Oklahoma.
You went to Ogden?
Ogden.
In Salt Lake?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, Ogden different. You like Ogden.
Ogden, Utah.
On so that. You can really...
Never heard of it.
I've been to Salt Lake City like two times.
We're not going
to
end on Ogden. Ogden is different. We're going to end on Salt
Lake. Yeah.
Listen, man, it has been... Yo, for real. Like, we got to do this. Like, we need to have more of these roundtables. Like, seriously.
Wow.
This was mad.
I love seeing y'all growing too, man. Y'all doing it, man. Y'all keeping it real
appreciate
classy,
you.
Jack.
Yeah,
appreciate I see what y'all doing.
Hey, let me ask. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, of course.
Fuzz, Gross, and Perico, because I think we talked about this, Chief and Malik, when I was on, but like, from a media space, what do y'all want to see more? Because these brothers got this platform. We had this conversation when I was on with me and Chuck, but what do y'all want to see more of?
Wait, from us?
More of us?
No, I'm talking about from y'all three.
Just in general?
In general.
Yo, G! Greg!
You!
He can hear you on the mic.
Greg, over here is Fuzzy, man. Holler at your boy.
This is one of my partners right there.
Okay.
What's up, Greg?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening, gangster Greg?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest rated.
Oh, then that's Magic right there. What's up, Magic? I didn't see Magic.
Magic from Magic City. You hear me?
Yeah,
man.
Well, here we go.
You got a documentary coming out. Yeah, man. How
I got
your boy?
Some girls, man.
What do y'all want to see?
I would want to see us be more diversity. More meaning, like different. We always got something to talk about. And Gross was just getting on me. We was driving over here like, man, you got to start your podcast up again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? You're right. You know, we all go through stuff in our life. But I love seeing I don't want to call it podcast space. I'll call it show space because this is a show. This is bigger than a podcast, right? So I want to see us have more shows with more diversity of content, of context, of because we can talk about anything, us as men or as people, right? So I think we just need to talk, have more range.
Yeah.
That's it. And just push the envelope, like, to have better shows. Like,
1,000%.
I love what you guys are doing, man. You guys are always in some sexy, cool places. I'm like, oh, man, they doing it. I love it. I love that you guys move around, man.
I appreciate
that's
you.
That's dope. That's such a great concept.
G.
Appreciate you.
I mean, excitement, information, something visually, you know, sexy, style, you know. And like you said, diversity, bringing the culture to another level.
Yeah.
Outside of the just messy, like, low-level, low-vibrating stuff, like, which is, like, kind of dominating right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just showing people that it's...
Clickbait
stuff. It's life. It's really, like, life out here. and you could take it wherever you want. Just inspirational shit, like, but dope and youthful. Not young kid shit, but youthful, dope, exciting. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Man, I hate. I'm about to steal from both of them because I want to see two things. One, I want. Our culture isn't monolithic, so it's not just hip hop and sports and personalities from those two worlds that shape everything. But that's just a, that is something that comes from our culture that everyone consumes. And so it's a big part of the culture. And so shows that talk about that, I just want us to be the platforms where people come to hear about our culture. Mm-hmm. Because I think we can think of the platforms about our culture that are not from our culture, not really for our culture, but people feel like they got to go to them because they made themselves gatekeeper somehow now, and it's just weird.
The consistency is what people.
So I want us to have the platforms about our culture, but then I just want, we should have like I was telling Fuzz, like, man, make your show. Like I was like, I love the show you had. I was like, you had 80, 90 episodes. Just keep going.
Yeah.
We need a diversity.
We
black people are not monolithic. Even black people who are truly in our culture are not monolithic. We could have shows. There's so many niches out there that I'd want to, you know, listen to or watch someone like us talking about different things. So that diversity and the quality and the thoughtfulness.
Yeah.
So those two points. We should own the cultural conversations or the platforms.
1,000%.
And the culture really is like in a strange place. It hasn't really been defined in a long time.
Nah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a good point.
It's real, man.
That's what I just wanted to know from you because we talked about it.
Yeah, we always talk about that.
Nah, and for us, man, it's just nothing but love and admiration. I think for myself, like to be able to sit with people that I either knew personally or watched, like as my career has gone, and to be able to have these conversations, it's such a growth moment. And also too, like your point, we can sit here and we can have a show where we talk about just parenthood. We can have a show where we talk about sports. We can have a show music, financial things, and once we get out of our way but own these conversations, I feel like we can start moving the ball forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that because I want to see more niche stuff too.
Yeah.
Because I know that I don't know the name of the show, but the husband and wife team that do the relationship show, that shit is fire to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think different niches, like a boxing show, a battle rap show, where we become the voice and the leaders of that conversation through this platform. I know that no matter what, for instance, I know that no matter what, I can go to Gross and get this type of information.
Yeah.
On a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So I think that would be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Consistency.
I love it, man. I love the Anthony Anderson show with his mom.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. They got a great relationship.
And then, you know, on the music side of things, what Hit-Boy and his father have created. Yep. Like, what a moment.
Hey, man, shout out to Hit-Boy having a run.
But that, I'm just saying, him and his dad.
Yeah, man.
And to be discussing their real
feelings
on
relationship,
like,
yeah.
Yo,
yeah,
like we all, especially if you got a son or if you got children, you know what that is. Yeah. Like those conversations,
and people can relate to that,
and they can relate to that. Yeah. And we need more of that. With all that said, man, listen, we appreciate y'all. G Perico, DJ Head, David Gross, Fuzzy, Chief, yo,
thank
1 year.
Man.
Yo, just so y'all know, 1 year.
It's been a year?
1 year.
Oh, man, congrats.
This is 1 year.
Congrats, man.
1 year. 1 year.
That's big,
1 year.
That's up.
1 year.
Keep going. Don't stop.
We can't. Listen, appreciate y'all. Live and direct from Las Vegas, from the Blue Wire Studios. This is A Sweet Life signing off.
Peace.
Rico probably had
Hey, man, that's so cool.